Amen. Let's give God a great, big shout of praise. Oh, we can do better than that. I didn't say Pastor Orr. Amen. I said let's give God a great, big shout of praise. As the choir make their way in, I stand here and I look out and you guys look fabulous. I love it. Somebody said you too. I know I got one somebody. I'm glad I got one somebody. Well, yes, I did get the memo. Somebody said, Pastor, we're all tired, so do not try to preach heaven down today. I want you to know I heard. Okay, they're coming after y'all after service. Stephanie, I got your back. Continuing in our series, may I introduce you to Christ. There's a word found in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, verses 15 through 17. Romans, chapter number 5, verses 15 through 17. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. And although our text will be 15 through 17, I want to read into your hearing the last portion of verse 14. Romans chapter number 5, the last portion of verse 14, beginning with the word Adam or Adam. Are we there? Yep. Romans chapter number 5, beginning with verse 14c, here's how my Bible reads. Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Family, I figured I'd just ride this thing right on to the baby Jesus coming. And we're going to be talking this morning from this subject, the gift of Christ. The gift of Christ, part one. The wise man has rightly said, we are all just living to die. The wise man has rightly said that we are all just living to die. Family, as I prepare for today's preaching moment on the gift of Christ, I thought it crucial that we might consider the gift God has given in light of the curse that Adam has given us all. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam's gift results in death. And this is the apostle's argument in our text this morning, if for no other reason than its prevalence alone, some variation of the word, the term death, appears in our passage no less than six times in six verses. Could this thread merely be coincidental? I think not. Listen to this quote. I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be around when it happens. End quote. That was from Woody Allen. Quote, it is said that your life flashes before your eyes just before you die. That is true. It's called life. End quote. Terry Pratchett. Somebody knew that one. Quote, for the living know they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten. End quote. King Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verse 5. Quote, the major message that Paul wants to teach in our passage this morning is that one man's deed can affect many. End quote. John Fullerton MacArthur. Look at verse 12a of our text, if you will. Verse 12 nicely, in pastor's estimation, nicely outlines our passage this morning. Who was that? Chris, did you read that for us earlier? Thank you so much for reading that responsive reading. You did a marvelous job. Verse 12, I love the way it captures our focus of our attention this morning. Look at what it says there. Therefore, just as through one man, sin, highlight that word sin, entered into the world. That's Pastor Orr's way of saying Adam opened the door to sin. This is transgression, brothers and sisters. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. This is Pastor Orr's way of saying that sin, the sin that Adam opened the door to, gave way to death. Sin gave way to death. And this is not the transgression. This is the curse or the judgment. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Because all sinned. Thus, Adam opened the door to sin. Sin gave way to death. Thus, death visits all men. We looked at Adam's sin, the transgression. We looked at the judgment, which is the curse. And then we have sin spread into all men. This is the condemnation. This is the condemnation. Why? The Bible says because all sin. And I'm just going to tell you right now, the way I look at that and the way this should be looked at, because all sinned in Adam. Because all sinned in Adam. And that is the point that the Apostle Paul is driving home. Now, look at verses 13 and 14. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned in Adam. Why? For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. Imputed means the sin was not charged to folk account. Now, make no mistake about it, folk were absolutely wicked, but the sin was not imputed to them, and yet, look at verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam. What does that mean? God gave Adam his law verbally. Do not eat of that tree. The day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And after Adam, when the separation came, the law had not been given. Men were still sinning. Although it was not imputed to them, they still died. Men still died. Why? Because we all sinned in Adam. It's an amazing thing. Family, the whole point of verses 13 and 14 is to present the reign of death as evidence that all fell. We all stood condemned in Adam. Indeed, one man's deed does affect many. The question now becomes, where do you stand? Are you on team Adam with his trespass or on team Jesus with his free gift? That's an amazing question. Are you on team Adam with his self-love or do you stand on team Jesus with his selfless love? Family, I believe this text is tailored to teach us the superiority of being found in Christ on Team Jesus over Team Adam being found in Adam. And the first thing I see when I look at this text is the reality of being in Adam versus being in Christ. It's right there in verse 15. Look at your Bibles. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, Much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. I know that's a lot, and Pastor's going to attempt to break it down. The reality of being in Adam versus being in Christ, this speaks to what I want to call positional elevation. Me and Fred, that is. Positional elevation. Now, look back at what we read in your hearing, verse 14c. Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. The first thing to understand in this passage is we need to know what a type is. Now, Paul supplies the comparative parallelism of Adam as a type of Christ. What does type mean? Type is a scriptural concept of an Old Testament allusion where an event, an institution, a place, an object, an office, or a functioning person patterns a greater reality to be fulfilled in the coming Christ. There are many types throughout the scriptures. The Old Testament covenant was a type. The Ark of God was a type. The sacrificial system of the temple was a type. Joseph, in saving many people alive and going through the hell he went through, was a type of Christ. And yet here it is, Adam is a type of Christ. Yet there is but one counterpart to the type. There is but one anti-type, and that is none other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for he is the reality that the type foreshadows. Now, here Christ is the anti-type of Adam. Now, they have but one thing in common. Their deed affects the many. Their deed affects the many. No doubt John MacArthur got it right, yet much in contrast. So you mean to tell me, Aaron, they got one thing in common, but they got a whole lot not in common. That's what I'm telling you. Confer with 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 45 through 49. I actually want you to turn there in your Bibles, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, beginning with verse number 45. Are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Beginning with verse 45, Paul in another place similarly outlines the contrast between the type Adam and the anti-type Christ. He did it so marvelously here, Fred, I couldn't leave it out. Look at what we have. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. The first thing we have are two different bodies. We have the natural versus the spiritual. Look at right there in verse 45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That is the contrast, the natural body versus the spiritual body. But not only two bodies, next we have two births. Two births, it's right there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. Indeed, we have two births. We have, Fred, what I want to call born, and what Jesus told Nicodemus, born again. It's an amazing thing. Two bodies, two births, and then we have two natures. It's right there in verse 47. I love the way the scripture just flows when Paul is writing. Look at verse 47, two natures. The first man is from the earth, earthy. That's a word we don't even use today. What do you think about that fellow? Well, he was earthy. The second man is from heaven. And the parallelism says that the second man is heavenly. It's an amazing thing. Two bodies, natural versus spiritual. Two births, born versus born again. Two natures, corrupt, earthy versus incorruptible, heavenly. And then we have two creations. Yes, sir, we do, Larry. Two creations right there in verse 48. This is the contrast in the type and the anti-type, Adam and Christ. Look at verse 48. As is the earthy, Adam, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. All this saying is, everybody that falls in the body of Adam, who find themselves in Adam, they're worldly. And everybody who finds themselves in the body of Christ, they are heavenly or otherworldly. The two creations here, just opposed, Fred, is the old creation, the earthy Adam, and the new creation being found in the heavenly Christ. Two bodies, two births, two natures, two creations. And then finally, oh, I like this one, Jimmy, two images. It's right there in verse 49. Just as we have been born in the image of Adam, the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Two bodies, natural versus spiritual, two births, born again, born versus born again, two natures, corrupt versus incorruptible, two creations, old versus new, two images, death versus life. It's an amazing thing. And in the righteousness of Christ, I have you know, Paul will have us know that the righteousness of Christ is antithetical to sin. The righteousness of Christ is antithetical to sin. It's right there in the first part of verse 15. Is that in your Bibles? Look at what it says there, 15. But the free gift. Yeah. Adam is who is the type of him who was to come. And that's as far as he could go, as far as comparison goes. And then he comes in with that but. And he changes the flow. Paul says, let's talk about how they're different. But the free gift is not like the transgression. It's not like the transgression. The righteousness of Christ is antithetical to sin. That word transgression, just another way of wearing, of saying sin. Why? Look in your Bible. There's a little word that appears twice in verse 15. Does anybody see it? It's a little bitty word with great big implications. Let me give it to you. Many. Do y'all see that? Y'all see that word many? Listen to this. That word many appears twice in verse 15. Here, we have to get this right or we won't understand the passage. We have to get this right or we won't understand the passage. Many cannot and does not refer to a resulting quantity here in our text. It cannot and it does not refer to a resulting quantity. If you look at the many and say, oh, this is all the amount, this is all the folks, what you'll do is you'll make Paul a universalist. Paul did not think that everybody is eventually going to end up on Team Jesus. Yeah, he didn't think that. Rather, this word many in our text, it does, however, reflect a resultant quality. Quality is in view and not quantity with this word many. So what is the Apostle Paul's point here? I'm glad you asked. The quality of the effect of the grace of the free gift of Christ is greater than the quality of the trespass and the curse of Adam. Let me say that again. I know that's pretty theological and it might seem convoluted. Let me say it again. The quality of the effect of the grace and the free gift of Christ is greater, more substantial, is better than the quality of the trespass and the curse of Adam. It's right there in the rest of verse 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression. Listen to what it says. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Much more did it abound to many. The reality of being in Adam versus being in Christ speaks to the positional elevation. But then secondly, we have the result of righteousness versus the result of sin. The result of righteousness versus the result of sin. And this speaks to a profitable examination. It's right there in verse 16. A profitable examination. Look at verse 16. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. Now, let me just tell you right now, many consider this passage, 12 through 17, to be the hardest passage in the book of Romans. And listen, I'm going to do my best to break it down. Many consider it to be the hardest, but it does not have to be. First of all, the righteousness of Christ is antithetical to condemnation. If we go back up to verse 15, we talked about the reality of being in Adam versus the reality of being in Christ. And what did we find out? The righteousness of Christ was antithetical to sin. All right? Christ and what he offered in his gift is worldly different from what Adam offered. It's antithetical to sin, but then the apostle goes further and said, not only is it antithetical to sin, it's the exact polar opposite of what? Condemnation. The result of Adam's gift. It's right there in the first part of verse 16a. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. Oh, the Apostle Paul broke it down for us real good, Larry, this fact in Romans chapter number 6, verse 23. I couldn't find a better verse. I wanted to quote something different. I couldn't find a better one than this one, Larry. For the wages, the payout, the end result of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ. Can y'all say that with me? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's an amazing thing. If I can't get an amen with that verse, then yeah, I might as well just sit down. The righteousness of Christ is antithetical to condemnation. But then we have Martha. We have the tale of two hands. It's a rhetorical device just for contrast. That's 16b, look at what it says. For on the one hand, and what do we have on the one hand? I'm going to break it down for you. We got one sin. Can the church say one sin?
One sin.
That is Adam's deed. We got one sin, and one sin makes its way to or produces one judgment. Can the church say one judgment?
One judgment.
Death. And death then produces condemnation. Can the church say condemnation?
Condemnation.
To all. Now let me tell you what condemnation is. Condemnation means that all men were declared ungodly, a hostile toward God in Adam's one deed. I spent a lot of time working on this because I knew Larry was going to be in here. I don't want him to pull me to the side after him and say, you got it wrong. So I spent my time here. One sin, Adam's deed, produced one judgment, death, and that brought open the door for condemnation, declared ungodly, hostile towards God for all. That's on the one hand. Now let's look at what's on the other hand. On the other hand, we have many transgressions. Can the church say many transgressions?
Many transgressions.
Oh, now listen, y'all sure enough got to help me right here because this is where we come in at, okay? Well, y'all got to help me right here. This is where we come in at. And for those who don't think they played a role in this is where we come in, okay? Y'all get what I'm saying? Let's say it again. Many transgressions.
Many transgressions.
Those are the believer's deeds. It's an amazing thing. This is our deeds. Brought forth the free gift. Can the church say free gift?
Free gift.
The free gift is the righteousness of Christ. Because of our many transgressions, God gave the gift, the righteousness of Christ. And what did it result in? Justification. It resulted in justification. Let me tell you what justification is. Justification says that we've been declared righteous. We're not righteous. We've been declared righteous. We're not righteous. We've been declared righteous. We're not really righteous. We've been declared righteous. We've been given what Fred likes to position, think, peace with God. It's an amazing thing. Let's read that verse 16b. For on the one hand, The judgment arose from one transgression. In other words, Paul flipped it the way he wrote it. One transgression led way to judgment. All right? One transgression produced judgment. For on the one hand, the judgment arose or flowed from the one transgression, and it resulted in condemnation to all men. That's if you didn't believe I had it right in verse 12. He doubled down on it. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. It's an amazing thing. I love this. If you haven't figured out by now, this is Pastor Oil's favorite verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's if you don't understand what on our behalf is. If you don't understand on our behalf, take your right hand, put it to your chest, and say, my many transgressions, Christ took care of it. Now, it's one thing to say my many transgressions, but it's another thing when we emphasize the right word. Transgressions does not receive the emphasis. The emphasis is on my transgressions. Y'all know we like to distance out. So I'm the police in the daytime. Did y'all know that?
Yes, sir.
I can't tell you how many times I see folks distancing themselves from that. I can catch them in the store sticking a power tool in their jacket. And I can walk right up to them. How'd they get there? We distance ourselves from our sin. But the scriptures won't let us. Paul won't let us. God won't let us. The gift won't let us. I'm afraid I find a way to weasel out of some stuff, but the gift won't let me. The reality of being in Adam versus being in Christ, verse 15, speaks to positional elevation. We've been lifted in our positions, even though we're still walking around here. The result of the righteousness versus the result of sin, verse 16, a profitable examination. We should take a look. We should take a close look at the tale of two hands. And then thirdly and finally, I told you I was going to get out of here quick today. Somebody said, keep talking and finish. The victorious reign of life versus the defeated reign of death. Now, listen, it's not lost on me that somebody's saying Pastor Orr got that all wrong. He didn't get this. He usually preached good, but I don't agree with everything he just said. That might be true. You might not agree. But I think it's going to get real good for you right here in verse 17. And if nothing else, I sure have been consistent. Look at verse 17, the victorious reign of life versus defeated reign of death. This speaks to the powerful emancipation. And if you don't know what emancipation means, that means liberation. If you don't know what liberation means, that means we've been freed. If you don't know what we've been freed, that means we got a reason to thank God. We got something to be to shout about. Look at it right there in verse 17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. Now, the second one is Jesus. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Let me try to break that down. The Bible says this death thing. Look back at the text here. Look back at your text. Go back to verse 12. Go back to verse 12. Look how many times we see death. Entered the word, and death through sin. So death spread to all men because all men sin. Go on down to verse 15. What do we have here? Forgive. The many died much more. Then we get down to verse 16. What do we have here? Rose resulting in condemnation and the free gift, justification, verse 17. So the transgression of one, death reigned. Do y'all know what death reigned means? That means death been sitting on a throne and taking folk out on earth since the beginning. The apostle says Adam sinned against the law of God verbally. When God said, don't do it, Adam broke God's commandment. The Bible says before we even got any more commandments, sin was still running amok. And the evidence that sin was still running amok, folk been dying ever since. Even though we didn't sin against the law of God like Adam did, we still been dying. But then came the gift. Then came the gift. It's an amazing thing. This death thing is so unnatural. And I hate when I'm dealing with folk and they try to act like, oh, you know, it's natural. Everybody, I'd be wanting to tell them, you sound crazy. Something inside every man knows that this is not the way things should be. Maybe I'm the only one. Something inside of all of us should know that people are not supposed to die. This is unnatural. Bible says that the devil done hung this thing over us. Thank you, Larry. All the days of our lives. Don't take pastor's word, but Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 14 and 15. Listen to the word of God. Therefore, since the children sharing flesh and blood, it's all men, he himself likewise also partook of the same. This is particularly going to be believers, that through death, he, Christ, might render powerless him, Satan, who had the power of death. That is the devil. And might free those who through fear of death was subject to slavery all their lives. Can I give you pastor's interpretation of this? No matter what folks say, nobody really want to die. We want to go to heaven, but the concept of dying, I don't like it. The devil done held this over our heads. But listen, let me show you something. I got good news. The cross of Christ has dethroned the reign of death. The cross of Christ has dethroned the reign of death. It's right there in verse 17. Let me read it again. For if by the one transgression, by the transgression of the one death reign, through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of the righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. I like the way Paul put in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Somebody say in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. For good work. Somebody say Veritas Concert. Oh yeah, I'm not kidding. It's not in the text. That's why I said somebody say. That's what good works is. You think it's a coincidence that we packed this house out? No, it's something that God declared and set up for us to do before the foundation of the world. We just had sense enough to do it. Give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a hand. We want to be found faithful doing the work that God has called us to do. Why do we do it? Because he first loved us. Listen to this quote. The wise man has said, we are all just living to die. The question now becomes, are we just living to die? Or is somebody dying to live? Is anybody dying to live? It's an amazing thing, family. Resurrection has arrived. Resurrection is here. Oh, it's an amazing thing. When I thought about this, I was writing this passage, one story came to my mind. I said, I want to give an illustration here. And I said, let me talk to the side of the room. I said, I want to give an illustration. I said, what illustration do I want to give? And something came to my mind. The Bible. A little story in John chapter number 11. turner, if you will. We're going to close on this. This is what you call a callback, Fred. John chapter number 11. I want you to see this. I can tell you, but it's different if you see it. The young folks say it hit different. Right, Charles? It just hit different. John chapter number 11. And I want you to go down, say, around verse 21. John chapter number 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That John. John chapter 11. Right around verse 21. Listen to this sermon illustration out of the Bible. Martha then says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection on the last day. I know what's going to happen. The last day, you know, everybody's going to get up. It's going to be a great rest. Yeah, I know that's coming, Jesus. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." Is anybody dying to live? "Will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And that's my question to y'all this morning, North Oaks. Dave, do you believe this? Resurrection, family, what Jesus is saying is, Martha, North Oaks, I know y'all thought the resurrection was an event, but the resurrection is a person, and I am here. Do you believe that? Does anybody believe that? Resurrection is here. Jesus says, "I am arrived." And is there anybody in this house this morning that can answer in the affirmative? I'm living the abundant life where Jesus reigns over everything dead in my life. Why don't you join Team Jesus today and accept the free gift of his righteousness through faith? Because unlike Adam's gift that leads to death, only the gift of Christ's righteousness will lead to life. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are, for what you've done. We thank you right now, Father, for your word and the opportunity to open even a difficult passage. But you've given us tools. You've given us great men who have gone before us. You've given us your word that you have kept and available for us to search the scriptures. And the fact of the matter is, regardless of folk like it or not, we all fail in Adam. But Jesus, your free gift, because of your love for the world, God, you didn't even wait till we got good. You didn't wait till we got right. You gave it when we were hostile toward you. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Lord, we love you and thank you. Thank you for your word. Help us to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And to you who have joined us on the internet, on YouTube, or however you get your podcast, did we have a good time here this Friday or what? Amen. Let me thank you for coming out. I appreciate it. I had a good time. Gabriel Jr. had a good time. North Oaks Baptist Church had a good time. Why? Because we were able to let our lights shine before men, that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. I love pastoring North Oaks Baptist Church, because here at North Oaks, we are shining the light and glorifying the Father. Amen.